And welcome to the Spare Parts Podcast. I'm your host, Bradley.
And I'm Henry. That was very energetic.
Wow, I watched back the last episode and
It was
it was very drab and dreary, my intro for
boring.
it. And it's like I was looking at the graph on YouTube and it's like, here's where people clicked on the video, and here's where people clicked off the video, and it's like 2 seconds in. So, I'm just trying to make it a bit more interesting. So,
We can do it.
this episode, we are going to be talking about Toyota. We're going to be talking about electric vehicles, and we're going to be talking about what's old is now new.
Good way to put
So, I guess I'll start us off with our first topic, which is, well, something that we had discussed. Had we discussed it last episode? I know we touched upon the GR Yaris. And then I think afterwards you had told me that is it the president or the CEO of Toyota has said that he doesn't want to sell boring cars anymore.
Yeah. I think I'm not sure whether I mentioned it on the last episode, but I definitely did talk about it. But pretty much, the CEO said no more boring cars. He wants to just exciting stuff. Obviously, he brought it to GR Yaris. I think there's talk of the, I think the GR Corolla is coming out, and I think there is obviously the new Supra, and I think the people are saying there's potential for a new Celica, which would be brilliant. It'd be really nice to see. Obviously, Toyota—that's the main company that's doing this at the minute. If only a lot of other companies would follow suit, then we could have a lot of cool cars as we are, obviously growing up as them cars get older. Could be the next generation of cool cars to own, even if some of them are electric. It still will be cool to see them. Hopefully, I'd really love to see it. Actually, really love to see cars go back to the way they were, kind of thing. And be enjoyable.
I had a conversation with a man not that long ago who said to me, he said to me that Tesla make the most boring cars
They do.
looks wise, and that the way that they probably designed them was they got 20 people in a room and asked them to design the most boring car they could possibly think of.
I agree. I just think that Tesla are going for this like modern futuristic look, but it's just not working. It's not what people want. And the people who say they want it are just blatant liars. That's not what anybody wants. The Cybertruck, like that to me, that is a joke, in my opinion. I don't see how anybody could be at all attracted to a vehicle like that. It's just sight.
You know what people do want, though?
What do people want?
People want manual gearboxes.
Oh, do they now?
They do. Which
And
means.
does this tie into our first topic of the day?
It does! What a great
Oh, was
segue. What a
it?
great segue. So, earlier in the year, Toyota have come out and they've patented a new gearbox for its line of hybrid and electric vehicles. So I have an article here written by autopress.co.uk, and it will be linked down in the description. For our audio listeners, you are just gonna have to go find it yourself. Sorry, I guess.
Apologize to them,
Yeah, you
peasants.
should be watching us on YouTube, man. So basically, the way that this gearbox works is much like a regular gearbox in, petrol and diesel cars work, in that it has a clutch, it has a gear stick, it has some other stuff going on. Basically, a bit of software to integrate the gearbox, well, the gear stick and the clutch in with the electric motors that will power the cars. So, this is a quote I'm reading directly off the article. Mechanically, the EV will still have a single speed transmission, but Toyota is adamant that the system will make the driving experience of an electric car identical to that of a petrol car by limiting the amount of power the electric motor can produce and the speed at which the car will travel depending on the gear.
Oh, so it's not actually a gear, it's like a setting.
Yeah, exactly. But
See.
you'll have to use it as a traditional styled gearbox to get it into the different settings. So there'll be 1 to 6 gears. First gear will have, quite a bit of torque but low speeds. While a sixth gear will have, higher speeds but slower acceleration.
So it's a simulated
Yeah, it's
gearbox, essentially.
simulated gearbox. And it says also for a bit of additional realism, Toyota says the clutch will include a shaker plate to transmit vibrations through the driver's leg.
Oh, so they're going for the full experience here. It's like a
I don't think I like that part.
I don't like that either. I mean,
If your if
personally,
if your if your clutch pedal is vibrating, something is bad.
I mean, you will feel vibrations through your clutch pedal, but I kind of feel like they're kind of moving backwards with that, because I kind of feel like the whole point of cars getting newer and obviously manufacturers putting more development, more time, more effort, more money into them, they're trying to get away from vibrations, noises. They basically want it to feel like you're not actually driving the car.
I mean,
You
okay,
know.
this might be a stupid comparison, but take boost lag, for example. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, boost lag was a big thing. You put your foot on the accelerator, turbo doesn't spool very fast, and then it goes, It feels kind of like,
Sorry.
we've kind of gotten to a point where boost lag is slowly being mitigated,
Term minimum.
where it's you put your foot on the accelerator and the turbo just goes. So going backwards, excuse me, in time to where you put your foot on the clutch and it vibrates, I feel isn't going to be what people want. And
No.
maybe if it's a setting that you can turn off.
Possibly. But I feel the clutch vibrating is more of a thing you would want in, for example, and we'll be talking about these later on, but say a modern vintage style car. You want it to feel old school. But if I went out to buy, now for example, I drive a car from 2004, I expect it to have bangs and rattles and be noisy and not be comfortable. But if I wanted a comfortable car to drive and I wanted to go out and buy a brand new car, I wouldn't be buying one that's gonna feel like an old car because it's simulated to do so. I'd want it to feel like a new car, like what I've went out to buy. So I just don't think that's what people, like your everyday person, is gonna want. Somebody who's more into their old school cars and likes driving, likes having the feel of a car, the experience of driving, you know. That's more to their taste, but for your average everyday person who just wants a car to get from A to B, they're not about that. They're about comfort, quietness.
I mean, it's more, I think it's that kind of thing is more targeted towards enthusiasts rather than your average Joe, major kind of demographic of people that are going to be buying electric vehicles.
I suppose on that point, it does, the way we're talking about it there, it does solely depend on what kind of cars they're for putting these simulated gearboxes into, whether it's going to be your everyday car, like on all the cars, or whether it's just going to be the cars that are more aimed at
Well,
your.
on that point, I have heard in the rumor mill that it's the debut of this gearbox is going to be in a new version of the MR2.
Oh well, that's fair.
An enthusiast car. It's like the MR2 is like people who are enthusiasts buy it, and people who have a lot of money and want to think that they're an enthusiast or like want to be part of the cool kids buy an MR2.
I
Like, I'd love an MR2, but
would love
that's
one.
for different reasons. I don't have a lot of money to go throw at a new MR2.
No. I mean, if I had money, I would 100% honestly, the talk of this new Silica possibly happening, I'd be jumping at that opportunity because so many people bought the GR Yaris, but so many people have bought them and stored them with low mileage, and that's not what they're for. Like, I understand why everyone has this idea. Obviously, you had your Vauxhall Novas and stuff like that, you know. Obviously, your Mark II Escorts, all that there stuff, all in the past, you couldn't have got rid of it at one time, and now over time, it's gotten to the point where you couldn't buy them. People are paying outrageous amounts of money for cars like that. They're worth a lot of money, they're scarce, they're very rare. But of course, people now who are buying the GR Yaris are expecting that to happen again, but so is everyone else that's bought it. So you're going to come in 20 or 30 years' time, there's going to be 90% of those GR Yaris with low mileage in pristine condition stored in a shed, and it's going to be the 10% that have been rallied and enjoyed that are going to be obviously scarce. They may not be as desirable, but it's not going to make most of the Yaris any different from each other, in my opinion. I think the cars, the whole reason they were built and produced was for people like me and you to enjoy them and not to store them, to be honest.
Yeah, like Mighty Car Mods did a good video on the GR Yaris recently. So one of the guys has a GR Yaris and he went out to a rally event and he talked to, oh, I can't remember what driver it was, but he drives for Team Toyota and he drives a GR Yaris and he talks about how his version of the GR Yaris is different to the consumer version, and it's like not that different. So again, like the Yaris is traditionally a car for grannies or people to that are learning to drive, and the GR Yaris is like an enthusiast who likes rallying, who likes, you know, going fast, you know, 1.63 three cylinder.
I have to say, I'm actually quite amazed by the fact that it's three cylinder.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
I'm amused by it because it's unbelievable. It's something that I never thought I would want as a three cylinder car. I'd always look at them and there's something really cool about the fact that they've managed to get that power out of a three cylinder. And I'd love to get my hands on one just to drive one. Actually, a neighbour of mine has one, and I'd love to get for a spin in it, but I haven't got the chance yet, so.
Well, when you do, let me know and I will be there.
I will.
I
He's
guess.
actually quite a good friend of mine, to be honest, but I haven't been chatting to him in ages, so I'll have to get that organised.
I guess moving on. You touched upon enthusiasts that go out and buy a new version of an old car, that want the kind of simulated retro
Old school
vintage
feel.
feel. Do you want to maybe shed some light on that?
Alrighty, so basically what I was talking about is Vauxhall are bringing out in around 2025, they're hoping for, they're bringing out or a Vauxhall Opel Manta. Now, I think this would be brilliant. I'll get you to show a couple of photos here, the car is, oh, it looks amazing. Now, obviously, I'm assuming this is a concept, but if they follow through and build this car, it just looks so good. Looking at it now, it's amazing. They've got the black bonnet, and just it has that. It's got that old school retro look with the black bonnet, but it all looks so like futuristic, but still has those old school body lines at the same time. I mean, what can I say about it here? It's going to be powered by a 134 brake horsepower E motor. It's a 31 kilowatt battery, and they're saying around a range of 120 miles, which doesn't sound that great, but then I suppose you have to weigh up the cost of charging against how many miles it can do. What I suppose it depends on the size of the battery too. It's all dependent, but it says about a 4-speed gearbox. Now, I'm not sure how that works, whether that's something similar to what Toyota are doing. But it's talking. It basically says here that They've ditched the original 1.9 liter 4-pot for the 134 brake horsepower E motor, and that's going to have the same 4-speed gearbox. Now, what they mean by the same one, I'm not sure, but there's no actual. I can't find any more information on the gearbox, what way that's going to work, but.
I guess we could speculate that it's Vauxhall or Opel's version of what Toyota is doing,
Yeah.
or it's somewhat reminiscent of a semi-automatic gearbox with like paddle shifters.
Either that or they are. See, that range does sound quite low, so unless they are actually putting an electric motor to a real gearbox. But I'm not sure. I'm not up to date on electric motors, to be honest. I'm not that educated on them, so I don't know how they work or what whether they will work with a manual gearbox. But I'm interested to obviously research and find out, go over these things. But no, that car looks brilliant, and if they stick with that design, then I'll be happy.
I guess, okay, so we have the Opel slash Vauxhall Mantra. And they're revitalizing a modern, they're doing a modern twist on an old car. I don't know if you've seen this, but there were some pictures floating around back in around October, November last year. Of the Hyundai Grandeur. Did you ever see that? So, basically, they gave the Grandeur, it's like a luxury saloon or sedan car.
Okay.
And I think it was like 35 or 40 years old, and they gave it a they took the retro body and they put electric vehicle parts into it. So they modernized, they kept the original shell and they just modernized everything else. So they put
So it's been
electric.
like retrofitted with the
Exactly, yeah.
modern parts. It's not a new production car, so to speak. It's
I think it was a concept car for possibly something in the future, and it was more of a resto mod rather than
Yeah.
actually to showcase their new production car. But it's
Yeah.
kind of going along the lines of the car that I really want to talk about.
Which is
The 1967 Ford Mustang Fastback.
what do you have to say about that?
Well, first off, I actually saw one not that long ago. An original 19, I think it was 1968. I sent you a couple of pictures of it.
Oh, yeah,
I was out doing
the
a
restoration.
job and there was this dude just like restoring an old 1968 Ford Mustang. And it was mwah, chef kiss. Mwah. It was beautiful.
Perfection.
He like started it up for me and revved it and everything, and I was like, oh man, this is great. But there's a company called Charge Cars that are in partnership with, I guess in partnership isn't the right terminology, but that's the best I can think of right now. They're
Working with.
working with, sort of working with, but not really working with. So
Probably working for.
they've approached Ford and they've said, can we have permission to remake the original 1967 Ford Mustang, but electric? So Ford's given them permission to use the original design of the shell
The
and
body
they've
panel.
the body panels, and they are custom making every single body panel that goes into the car. And it's going to be a, I've got the details up here. It's going to have a range, an electric motor, obviously, It's going to have a range of 200 miles and a top speed or a 0 to 60 of 3.9 seconds.
That's not bad. The 200 miles is probably accurate compared to the V8, to be honest.
Yeah, it's actually it's like it looks really cool. I'll throw some pictures up on screen, so you can have a look. And obviously, everything we talk about is linked down below for our YouTube watchers. I'm looking at you. Well, you can't see me, but I'm looking at you, Spotify listeners.
Spotify people.
You're gonna have to find it yourself. But yeah, I'll link down below. If you have, this is where the kicker comes in, okay? If you have £350,000, you can pick yourself on one of these limited edition electric Mustangs.
Oh, apologies. £350,000.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. I could think of so many better things to buy with 350,000.
I don't know, like an original maybe.
An original, I would love to buy myself an original Group B Audi Quattro, which I could do with that amount of money.
Yeah, I mean,
That's
you could buy
outrageous.
yourself a limited edition Subaru Impreza 22B, which they only made 424 of for that money. You could probably buy like three of them.
But you just wouldn't, though.
But you would.
No, you wouldn't.
But you would. You could buy a
Think
quad.
about
You could buy a Quattro and one of those for the price of that car.
how many Fiestas I could buy with 350,000.
You're trying to get rid of your Fiestas. You sold one the other day.
I know, what I'm sad. It was my first car.
Still at the sticker on the back window.
I know. I tried peeling it off and it wouldn't come off, so it stayed.
Yeah, I tried peeling off. I have a like one of those stickers from the dealership on the back windscreen of my car. It's like
Donegal
mine's Subaru.ie, and I tried peeling it off
Rally.
the other day, and it just did not go well.
Does it now say Subaru?
It just says, I think it's like dot dot dot, because it has like three dots at the start, and then it's like Ubaru.ie. It's like missing the sub.
Oh no, mine's from Donegal Rally a few years back, so it's been stuck on there for quite a few years.
Yeah, I've not to.
The guy that bought the car hasn't had much luck though.
Really?
The day after he bought it, he got a flat tire.
Think.
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's kind of funny. I'm convinced that car was cursed. I always got flat tires and buckled wheels and cracked wheels and everything with that car. It's just unlucky.
Okay, let's get back on track.
All
Because
right.
you have two more cars you want to talk about.
Yeah, I do. The second one being, I would like to talk about the Volkswagen ID. Buzz. What is the ID. Buzz? It's essentially a camper van. It doesn't look like a camper van. It looks like a minivan. But, I mean, I don't know whether to call this reasonable or not. But for a range of about 205 miles, and for £58,000, you can buy yourself a fully electric camper van as such. I mean, it just—I don't know what to say about
I
it.
have
It's
a
it.
I have my reservations about this car. Because that, what, £56,000?
That's a lot of 58.
£58,000. And that is the bottom spec. That is the
That's bottom
starting from.
price. Yeah, price from 58,000.
That is the bottom of the barrel. And just, it doesn't even look anything like what it's supposed to be. Because it's clearly taking inspiration from the VW T2.
It just doesn't
But
scream camper van at me. It's just a minivan in my. It is a minivan. It's not a camper at all.
I think they do one that's the Buzz Home,
Oh.
which is the camper van version. But again, it just does not look anything like what it's
What it's
supposed to
made
be.
supposed to be, yeah.
But something that is in the works over at Ford that
Oh.
looks like it's supposed to
Yes.
be. Do you want to take it away?
So this kind of moves into our next topic. And that topic is being, oh, apologies. A topic being, general opinions on electric vehicles. Would you ever consider buying one? Why or why not? Do you think they are truly a more sustainable solution?
No.
And what will come of traditional combustion engine cars? That's kind of what we talk about here. So, starting off on that, I want to talk about. Now, this basically answers the question, would I buy a new EV? Generally speaking, no. Just no. But if you jump onto Google and look up the new Capri, the new Ford Capri RS, you will see what actually resembles quite well the original Ford Capri. And it honestly looks amazing. I would genuinely have no trouble driving one. Now, I don't know what kind of price point we're going to be looking at. I don't. There's not much information on it. I think it's just a concept at the minute. It's they're talking about having it out by no wait. Oh well, it's just 2022 here, but there's been no talk about it. It doesn't say anything about the size motor, but they're saying that it's going to maybe have around a 150 to 200 horsepower motor, which actually wouldn't be too bad. It's a brilliant looking car. It really does resemble the original. I'll get you to throw a picture up there. But no, that's my answer. If I was to buy an electric car, it would be that. And I'm kind of a Ford person myself, which so it's maybe a little bit biased, but I think that looks brilliant.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about the EV Subarus because we just won't go there.
Just don't want to talk about Subarus in general.
I want to talk about Subarus, but
No.
not the electric ones. But I think
Still manage to blow head gaskets, or is that not a thing
no, they
anymore?
blow their just the wiring in general.
Oh, yeah.
I think, the cars that we've talked about tonight, or I guess I'm saying tonight because we're recording this at night, because
10 past 12. 12 minutes past 12.
12 minutes past 12. Henry actually, has a proper job. So we have to record these at night during the week.
Stupid o'clock.
Yeah. But I think out of all the cars we've touched upon in this episode, we have like such a broad spectrum of the EVs that are like coming out. We have the VW Buzz, which looks,
ID Buzz.
sorry, the ID Buzz,
You know,
which.
I think without even looking at a picture, the name ID Buzz, you could picture it in your head without seeing it.
I feel like the ID Buzz sounds like almost as if it's like a slang term for when you're buzzed and the bouncer won't let you in. It's like, oh, here's my ID. You're too drunk to come in here. You're too buzzed. It's like, damn,
Oh.
I got ID buzzed. But no, we have the broad spectrum of the ID buzz, which looks nothing like what it's set out to be. Just
No.
not at all worth the money. Then we've got the Ford or the charge car's Mustang,
Which does look like what it's supposed to
which
be.
looks exactly what it's supposed to be, but
It is pretty much what it's supposed to be with an electric motor.
it is ridiculously priced.
Ridiculously priced, yeah. The Capri
The
sort of
Capri
looks
sits.
exactly as it's supposed to, refined. It's
It's.
smoothed. It's rounded edges. It looks the same but different.
In
It's
my.
probably the best resemblance.
In my opinion, the Capri sits right in the middle of that spectrum.
Kind of like perfection.
It's. Yeah, because it. I know it's a concept at the moment, but if it's reasonably priced, and I use the word reasonably loosely because you have 350,000, 58,000, if it's somewhere in between maybe like 58,000 to like 80,000, then it's right in the sweet spot because it looks like it's supposed to, but modernized. It's not too far from where it came from, and it's reasonably priced, and it will shift the whole like car enthusiasts just way over there,
It will.
and they'll all like buy Capris.
Pretty much. What I want to know, if Ford is capable of making that, if Ford makes that, if they're capable of making that, they're capable of making anything. They have a lot of cool older classics, and they could really use that to nudge us car guys and enthusiasts over to the electric car side. Now, I'm speaking from myself, that's not going to be easy to do, but if they keep at that, it will grow on me
How
because they do. That looks amazing if they can keep that up.
about an electric Ford Escort Mark II?
Just no. Just that shouldn't be.
What if they could?
They could, but they shouldn't.
But what if they could? What if they
But they
did?
shouldn't.
What if they
They
did?
won't.
They won't, but what if they made a Mark Electric Escort?
Why are you saying what if they won't? I can tell you now they won't. The Mark II is sacred.
I know the
To
Mark II is sacred, but
having every engine apart from a Mark II Escort engine put in it and rallied in Ireland.
yeah. Yeah. That is pretty accurate.
They won't do it. I don't know. I just think Toyota seems to have the best idea so far. They haven't just went to the electric side of things yet. They're making these cool internal combustion engine cars first, sort of like a, I don't know if it's like a final, goodbye to internal combustion before they have to go electric, before, emissions and stuff like that, before everything just kind of comes to a sad end. Are they just giving it a final hurrah or what it is? But I like it.
I don't know. I do not have any of the answers, but I like where Toyota is going, and I
Yeah.
like where Ford is going with the Capri. And if we could just merge those two worlds.
You see that
I
fly
did
out of
see
my
that.
screen?
I didn't want to address it, but I think your house is more haunted than mine.
I think it is. One thing I want to say, obviously, I'm sure you've seen people taking old cars. For example, the Mustang. People have taken old cars. I've seen, for example, a guy done it with a Vauxhall Nova. He took a Tesla motor and he basically converted the Nova, but he didn't cut or swap in and out on the original chassis. He just made new mounts that bolted to the original chassis. So if he wanted to put an original engine back in, it's a nut and bolt job. So obviously there's fitting electric motors to old cars. How about fitting internal combustion engines to new electric cars? Do you think that's gonna
I've
be a
seen a
thing?
guy do that. There's a YouTube video, I will try and find it and link it below, of a dude who I think the story goes that he needed to replace his Tesla battery. And it was like gonna be ridiculously expensive
Okay.
to replace it. So instead he just put a V8 engine inside of a Tesla.
Didn't that guy Ross do that? Put an engine in a Tesla and bring it for an oil change?
Is that the same dude that put beans in his fuel
Yeah.
tank?
That's him. He also put beans in a computer.
He also froze a computer in a block of ice.
Yeah.
We have gotten completely sidetracked.
Yeah,
I
completely.
think we are out of time because the whole electric vehicle, is it sustainable? How will it affect motorsports? That's a completely bigger
Yeah.
topic that we can't fit into a 20 to 30 minute episode with
No,
other things.
we need to talk about that in a separate episode. We could maybe do a part two to episode two.
No. We will do a separate standalone episode of the podcast about
Dedicated.
electric vehicles and are they sustainable and how will they affect the car scene.
Yeah.
But for now, if you have made it this far into the video or episode,
Bless you.
Spotify listeners, I'm looking at you. You can't see
Are you
me.
though?
You can't see me, but I am looking at you.
He can see you. We can see you.
We can see you. We know that you're on the toilet right now.
I know you have one leg on top of the
You sit with one leg on top of the other on the toilet?
No, but I'm sitting with one leg on top of the
Okay. Audio listeners on Spotify, you better go check out the YouTube version of this so you can see me looking at you.
We'll link the YouTube version down below in the YouTube version
Yeah,
for
we will.
you YouTube.
Because we can't do it on Spotify. But if you have enjoyed and you have made it this far, here is your medal. Bit of a throwback to the last episode.
Throw you back to the last episode that was
Yeah.
shocking.
Yeah, I know. Let's not talk about it. If you have made it this far, thank you very much for listening slash watching. And if you have enjoyed, be sure to hit the subscribe button. Ding dong that little notification bell, give the video a like, and tell us down below in the comments if you could have any car revitalized as an EV, what would it be?
Anything at all.
Any car at all, as long as it's not a PT Cruiser
Ford car.
or a Ford Ka.
Let's see.
Please no.
Did you just lose the will to
Oh yeah.
live? Oh, yeah. If you've made it this far, thanks very much. We appreciate all and any support. We hope you enjoy listening to us babble on about different vehicles and our opinions on them and just any bullshit we can come up with. But yeah, thanks very much for listening.
If you are on Spotify, I want you to go over to the YouTube channel right now and just comment your favorite fruit.
Do
This part isn't for the YouTube people. This
No,
is just specifically for you.
this is only
I want you to go
Spotify.
over to YouTube. Go to that little search bar. I know you know how to use it.
Gonna cut this out of the YouTube part.
I know you know how to use that little search bar up at the top of YouTube. type in correspondence, spare parts podcast, go to episode 2, comment your favorite fruit.
Confuse all the other people.
Confuse the YouTube audience, all right? We'll see you next time.